Red Eye is 3 hours of alternative politics and culture, broadcast live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM in Vancouver, Canada. Here is Peter Royce.
Social action, organizing, street theater, and civil disobedience. These are just some of the tools outlined in Mike Hudima's new book, An Action a Day Keeps Global Capitalism Away. The book actually has 52 actions, one for every week of the year. Mike Hudima is a law student, activist, and actor in Edmonton, and he's joined me today. You begin your book by saying a democratic society doesn't just condone political action, it demands it. How is political action defined in your book?
Political action has a fairly wide definition in the book. It encompasses everything from lobbying efforts to mass mobilizations on the streets of Quebec City, and it's basically meant for anybody who wants to take an active role in trying to create or define the world.
So what sort of range of thing? Could this just be personal actions, or is it engaged with others?
It sort of runs a full gambit. It focuses a lot in terms of group actions of what you can do if you're currently working on a campaign. So if you're working on a campaign on feminist issues or against the war or on environmental issues, it tries to provide sort of resources to liven up your campaign, to maybe increase sort of your media exposure or your effectiveness. And it's also good in terms of building sort of your group and avoiding sort of activist burnout, which happens a lot.
Can you give me a thumbnail sketch of the range of actions and some examples that are covered in your book?
Sure. It sort of goes from everything from sort of lobbying and sort of different techniques of lobbying to sort of individual efforts that you can do with small groups. And so one of the actions that we did was slow walking in a mall, which was actually quite an interesting experience because we sort of slow walked in the mall. There was five of us all in single file line. And in no time, a crowd had started to gather, started commenting on why we were slow walking in the mall. And eventually security officials came up and asked us to leave. And we're like, well, why do we need to leave? And they're like, well, you're walking slowly. And we pointed to somebody else who was also walking fairly slowly, an elderly lady at the other side, and we're like, well, she's also walking slowly. And the security official responded and said, well, no, she's actually walking at the appropriate speed. And so we asked security to tell us, you know, well, what's the slowest we can walk and still remain in the mall? And at that point, they were like, no, you have to go or we'll call Edmonton City Police. And so what the action was really trying to get at is how we have all these different rules in our society that tell us what we can do and what we can't do. And when we go to places of commerce, it's about getting in, buying, and leaving. And anytime you try and sort of interfere with that, you sort of meet this opposition from security and sort of from the actual place of business.
That's a great action. Where did you get the idea from?
We actually got the idea from the movie Baraka. And there's this one scene in the movie Baraka where you're seeing a busy sort of New York City sidewalk street, and you see a Buddhist monk walking very slowly the other direction, and the contrast between the two is quite phenomenal. And we just wanted to try it one day as more of a drama activity than a real action.
So now, where do these actions all come from? Like you mentioned, that one came from the movie. How else have they been generated?
Well, most of the actions just come from different campaigns we're working on. It's sort of our belief in the group that I'm a part of that our actions need to be fun, they need to be creative, and they need to sort of instill within the members of the group this sort of sense of, you know, joy in creating a new world or in sort of opposing different things that we think are wrong with our society to keep our group going and to keep it moving. And so most of the actions from the book basically come out of those type of organizing efforts of how do we present this message to the public in a way that's very effective, that communicates our goals, that communicates what we want and what we're opposing, but at the same time is very empowering for the group.
Now, you've obviously taken part in many actions. What was your first?
My first action ever was going out to the Clayquot Sound protests off the coast of Vancouver and basically being a part of sort of the organizing efforts there and some of the sit-in actions that happened, and that basically spawned sort of the book and all the other groups that I've been a part of since then.
But now this seems to go a bit further than just political action. You sort of introduced a degree of creativity into it. So where does that come from?
I think the creativity comes from, like, I have a fairly strong drama background, and I, you know, took drama in post-secondary education and got my degree in that field. But most of it just comes from of how can we do this work and how can we sustain our communities so that we avoid burnout. And one of the most effective ways that we found to do that is by making it sort of more creative, is by making it fun so that it is an empowering experience to be a part of. It is engaging so that we're constantly building this movement and constantly growing. But it's also an effective way of getting your message out to, you know, if you're using the corporate media, they're usually really excited about picking up on sort of really visuals or creative actions that you're doing. And so it can also add to the effectiveness of your action that way.
Now, so as well as the creativity, there are also the tactical sides in general of actions. Is that, did you learn those at Clayquot as well?
It started there, but you definitely, the more actions you do, sort of the bigger your toolbox gets, and then the bigger sort of your discussion around tactics of what you're comfortable with and what's appropriate for any given situation. So what the book tries to encourage is just people to get active. There's a complete range of sort of ability levels, of interest levels that people can get engaged in. The important part is just to go out and do something, because you can sit back on your couch and watch Survivor, but your world is still being created. And it's basically a question of, do you want to be a part of that creation, or do you want somebody else to create the world for you? And my sort of standpoint has always been to, I want to be an active part in trying to create the future and create the society that I want. And so I'm going to get out and I'm going to do these type of actions to show people that resistance is possible and creation is possible as well.
Now, you mentioned that there are different levels of activity, and each action in the book is accompanied by symbols and a simple rating system. Can you explain what they are?
Well, we basically wanted to outline each action in terms of what resources people need. And so if it's an action that didn't require any resources, so you could do it very quickly, or if it's a more intensive action that requires a lot of planning, there's also sort of arrestability levels in terms of, is this an action that, you know, has no real sort of risk in terms of getting arrested, or is it, you know, a high arrestable situation? Because I, when we look at activism, I think we have to look at it as a very diversity of tactics, and a lot of different tools need to be used to make the change we can. And sometimes people need to sit down on bridges like they did at Clayquot and stand up for a cause that they believed in to actually address some change when other means don't work.
Now, I like the indicator that suggests the level of fun. How do you evaluate that?
It's basically through doing. You sort of, every action has, you know, a different level of commitment and a different level of fun to it. And it's basically, how engaging is it to the audience, and how empowering is it to the people that actually participate? We did one action where we dressed up as security officials for when John Chrétien came to town. And we purchased a security sort of costume from Toys R Us and dressed up. And at first, you know, people just let us stand there. We were there for about 20 minutes, and we just saw delegate after delegate go by. So we started increasing it to increasing sort of, you know, because we wanted to get our message out, and started saying, oh, no, the other terrorists are inside, just go right on in. And still, nobody was coming or stopping our action. And so we escalated again to the point where we actually stopped delegates and started frisking them for weapons of mass destruction. And because of the culture that we have, where people are very subservient whenever they see any type of uniform or official dress, we had delegates that completely complied and would, you know, line up against the wall and let us frisk them, because that's what's typically done in society. Eventually we were discovered and were able to sort of make our points about the incoming security legislation that was going forward, the sort of condemnation of dissent that we felt that our government was doing, and so we're able to do that. But that's all done through creativity and all done through fun, and then escalating and being comfortable with that escalation.
I'm sure that rated pretty highly on the fun scale.
I think it got about 4.5, I think.
Is that so? That's great. So what makes an action successful?
I think it depends really on what your goals are. I think every action, you know, you have to look at, what do I want, what are my expectations, and where I want to go. And so for most actions, the success level will depend on what those goals are. If it's empowering your group, then that has a different sort of success sort of ratio. If it's actually getting this message out, some of your goals are, well, did the media come out? Is this, you know, something that they picked up on and that they were willing to promote to other people? If your goal is just to build sort of the base of your group, well, how many volunteers did we recruit? Was this, you know, something that people wanted to participate in that was, you know, greeting towards them? And I don't think any action is, I don't think any action is really disempowering or ineffective. It's just actions that you have to revisit, think about what worked, what didn't work, and then hone it for next time.
So if you were thinking of a very highly fun action and something that didn't take a lot of resources or skills or had a lot of risk, is there one that jumps out from you from the book?
Well, there's actually an action that a group in Waterloo did, and what they were organizing on is they were organizing around idling and trying to do an idling campaign. And they were doing a lot of educational outreach, a lot of handbilling, a lot of flyering, and were meeting with very little success. So what they decided to do was, again, playing on the uniform aspect, and they got security vests, so just, you know, those bright, flashy sort of safety vests that you've seen everybody wear. They made up about 500 business cards that were very cheap that they just printed off their computer that said the name of their organization. And what they would do is they'd go around, and whenever they saw an idling car, they would knock on the window and in a very official voice would say, "I'm sorry, we're with this organization. You're not allowed to idle your car here. Will you please turn off your engine?" And every single person was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I didn't know," and would immediately turn off their engine and stop idling. And so it's a very easy action that pretty much anybody can do and just sort of uses the things that our society sets up, like uniforms and like our submission to uniforms, to convey a really sort of progressive message.
Now, so if I, you know, for people who are listening to the show and want to get into this, I think one of the things, the barriers that comes to mind is the sort of acting and theatrical, dramatic and theatrical skills. How can people approach this sort of creative approach to action? How can people get started?
Well, there's definitely, within the book, there's sort of, you know, your introductory actions to get people more acclimatized to creative actions. And so even going out to a rally, participating in different events from the sideline, because there are different roles in every single event that we organize. There will be, you know, the people who are actually doing the action or the creative part of it or singing the songs or doing the plays. But there are also sort of people that are doing handbilling and doing educational outreach and doing all the other sort of aspects of that action that makes it successful and makes your group work. And being sort of a part of that really can get people more acclimatized to the creative part and be more willing to sort of, you know, jump into those more visual roles that are also needed.
Well, thanks very much for talking with me this morning about it.
Well, thanks so much for having me, and good luck with the entire radio program. I think what you guys are doing is absolutely tremendous. So.
Great. Well, likewise. I've been speaking with Mike Hudima. Mike is a law student, activist, and actor in Edmonton. His book, An Action a Day Keeps Global Capitalism Away, is available through Between the Lines Books, and also you can request it at your local bookstore, and they'll get it for you.
You've been listening to a program produced by Red Eye, an alternative media collective which broadcasts every Saturday morning from 9 until noon on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM, in Vancouver, Canada.